The message today is called Your Name is Near. And it comes from a psalm, Psalm 75, verse 1, which I'd like to read. It's just a very simple verse, and then we're going to look into what this might be. We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks, for your name is near. And when I first read that psalm, I was just kind of waiting on the Lord and spending time with the Lord. And I looked at those words and I was like, there's a lot of reasons why we praise God. Usually it's for things like you were good, or we praise God because of things he gives us. But right here is a truth that I feel like the Lord wants to unpack for us today. And that's the truth about his name being close. And why is that something that we should praise God for? By having God's name near, it also means it can be far away. Now, does it mean that someone just kind of writes something down on a piece of paper and then brings it close? What is it all about? What is it about God's name that we want to have close to us? What is it about God's name that we want to have close and near and present with us? Because we are a presence-based church or a presence-driven church. We passionately seek God's presence, and then once he shows up, we let him do what he wants to do. Occupy until I come. When I come, we know the boss is in the house. We step back and let him work. And every time we gather as a church, we look forward to when Jesus steps in and let stuff happen. And we invite him by our presence. We invite his presence by our praise. And as we praise him, his presence shows up. When his presence shows up, God starts to do things. And so, just like Jesus when he came to the temple, he overturned the changers of the tables of the money changers. He was teaching. Children were praising God and running crazy. And everybody there, the Pharisees, were going, stop, it's getting too crazy here. Stop the kids. Stop all this stuff. You know what I mean? And he said, no. This is the place for praise. Because it's out of the baby's mouths that I want to see this. So here's this beautiful picture of God's name being near. So I felt like the Lord directed me to two places. And so I'm going to unpack two sections. One is in Matthew, and the other is in the book of Acts. So if you would go ahead and turn to our scripture in Matthew chapter 21, verse 23, and we're going to look at when Jesus enters the temple. Because again, we are interested in God's presence. We want him to enter this place. And how do you know Jesus is present? You'll know. You'll just know. Because when he shows up, things happen. It just does. And that's what it's all about. Your name is near. When Jesus, he entered the temple, verse 23, the chief priests and elders of the people came up to him, and as he was teaching, by what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority? Jesus answered them, I also will ask you one question. And if you tell me the answer, then I also will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, from where did it come? From heaven or for man? And they discussed it among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say to us, why then did you not believe him? If we say from man, we are afraid of the crowd, For they all hold that John was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, "We don't know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." Now, why am we talking about authority when we were just talking about God's name being close by? Because in the name is authority. Amen. Now, if we're dealing with names, I would say that even in our culture today, we still express honor when we're dealing with somebody's name. We use titles. When we come somewhere and appeal to someone that has authority, we don't come in, even if I know somebody by first name and we're friends, we may play tennis together, but if I'm walking into their place of authority, I may know a judge, for example, by first name and play tennis with them. But when I walk into the courtroom, I don't say, "Hey." We don't do it, do we? Because the name is where we honor the person because of their authority, because of what they have been placed. So we don't try to use first names when there's no intimacy there. It's not the appropriate place to do it. And I believe that the prayer room or the temple of God is a place to use the name with honor. Amen. And with grace. Because we know that by that name, we have authority. There's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. Praise God. Likewise, the devil will ruin a man's name. And I have to say, I have never in my brief life ever seen such a display of trying to ruin a person's name as I have seen the past 6 weeks. I've never seen it like this. I mean, there are quotes of people saying, "We don't care if he got it or not, as long as his name is ruined. And his reputation." The word reputation refers to what people associate with your name. What do people think of when they think of your name? And the devil is called a slanderer. The word devil means slanderer. That means his job as the slanderer is to slander or accuse people in the courts of heaven. That's what he does. And he goes throughout the earth to try to slander the people of God and bring a bad reputation to that name. But God wants us to see his name near to us. That's because not only he wants us to honor that name, but he also wants us to know that name. Now, in the Old Testament, during the even today, to this day, do you realize that the Jews never pronounced the name of God? But as we'll see, that's not the case with believers. Because we're on a first name basis. And you'll see this. So let's get back to Matthew 21. He entered the temple. And they said, "What authority and who gave you the authority?" And so Jesus mentions John. And so now you have an authority of a name, but you also have an authority from the origin or the location of that name. It says, where did John's baptism come from? Where? Heaven or men? And today we still have that choice. Are we functioning in an authority that's heaven or from, I would now call crowdsourcing, the crowd? Heaven or the crowd? And we've seen that. Again, we're seeing it so in front of us. Today we have the ability to manipulate the crowd as never before. Not only can you get beat up by a mob physically, but you can get beat up in a mob on the internet. The same principle happens. I mean, you go on the internet and boom, you get mobbed. And people manipulate the mob. So here you have a contrast of one man, John the Baptist. One man. Everybody say one man. Who's a prophet? Say it. One man. One man. Who's a prophet? That's right. And on the other side, you have a crowd from the earth. That one man carries the authority of heaven. And all the crowd has is man. And Jesus presents a clear choice. Whose name is near to you? The crowd or a man? One man. Whose name is near? Whose reputation are you trying to keep? Are you going to be played by the crowd? Boy, it's quiet in here. Isn't somebody saying like no?
No.
Are you going to be played by the crowd?
No.
Yeah, that's right. Yvonne's laughing. It ain't going to happen to her. But do you see what's happening there? Jesus was in the temple and they confronted him in the temple. The name of God is to be near in the temple of God. This is where it needs to happen. You cannot allow yourself to be crowdsourced out of the temple of God. There's only one source, Jesus.
Amen.
And he needs to be near. We see it again and again. Let me tell you what we saw over this past thing in our government. We'll see it. They'll try it again. Because that's the way the devil works.
Yes,
what we're seeing now is what in the Bible is the same thing today, just played out a little different. They were confronting him. Who were they that was confronting Jesus, by the way? The rulers and the leaders of the temple. Because when you preach the word of God, you will be confronted by principalities and powers. And you have to know the authority of the name of Jesus, because they're going to come after you because you're not like them. You are not following the crowd. And they'll notice you when you don't follow the crowd. They'll track you. Go ahead. Make my day. Track me. Notice that their thought process. Look at the thought process of the principalities and powers. Look at the way they're thinking here. Look what they say. If we say, notice it's Jesus by himself, referring to John by himself, and notice how the pronouns shift here. English teachers, please forgive me. The pronouns shift from I to we. Do you see the we? If we say, he will say to us, But if we say from man, we are afraid of the crowd. Do you see the group think going on by the principalities and powers? Do you know what I'm talking about? Wave your hand if you know what I mean by groupthink. Groupthink is when you stop thinking your own thoughts and you are merely thinking what you have been programmed to think by the group or by the crowd. And man without God will think like the group. Your mind needs to be renewed. Transformed. God has to pull your thinking out of the group think from the moment you were born. If you were born in this world without Jesus, your mind needs to be changed. Because you tend to say, we this, we that, we this. Wait a second. Not me. I. Jesus. My mind. I have heard from the Lord. I am a Christian because I met Jesus. Not because of the crowd. We are very strong on that. I'm very, very strong. I mean, we never want you to be a Christian because it's cool to be a Christian or because you're pressured to be a Christian or because, you know what I'm saying? You're guilted or you're manipulated into being a Christian by groupthink and by crowd strategy. I mean, even one of the propaganda organizations is called CrowdStrike. I mean, we're going to see more of this. The Bible says in Romans that man's fallen man either accuses or excusing themselves. There's this. Do you see the thought process? They're going, well, if we say from man, we are afraid. He will say, then why didn't you believe him? Accountability to God. And then we say, from man, we're afraid of the crowd. For they all, see that? They all hold. They all believe this. Come on now. Everybody else is doing it. Why aren't you doing it? So they answered Jesus, we don't know. And I call that fake ignorance. Everybody say fake ignorance. Fake ignorance is when you've been confronted with the truth and you act like you don't know it. Well, I don't know if God is real. Yes, you do. You are pleading fake ignorance because you're afraid of the crowd. You don't want to face the truth. Because if you do, you will be accountable. And I don't want to be accountable. If I'm ignorant, I don't know. I can't be held accountable for what I don't know. That's fake ignorance. Fake ignorance is not innocence. There's a difference between innocent and fake ignorance. An innocent person just simply doesn't know. They just don't know because they've never encountered the truth. But once you know, don't act like you don't know. This is what you're seeing here. Oh, we just don't know. Look what Jesus said in response to them. Oh, my goodness. Look how he responds. Well, I am not going to tell you then. God don't play your games. Turn to your neighbor and says, God don't play those games. Come on. No, he doesn't. But wait a second. I believe God should prove his existence. If God is really God, why can't he prove it to me? Because you feign in ignorance, boy. He's been showing himself to you and you're acting like it's not true because you've got groupthink and you're afraid of the crowd. And you don't want to be accountable for what you know. That's what's really going on. They're a professional, very smart, tons of PhDs, act like, well, God, prove you're really God. No, you know he's God. This is so important because God shows us in this example why he doesn't do certain things to prove himself. You know why? Come on. Because he wants us to be honest when we accept him. He's trying to get at our attitude. He wants us to love him, not to be a slave. He doesn't want us to be a stupid robot programmed to do. He wants us to fall in love with him because he loves us. Do you see the difference? Why God shuts up revelation from people? Why God hides himself from some people? Because of their attitude. Do you realize that God will change what he does based on what you do? Well, I can't hear from God. Well, maybe you have heard from God and you're being a blockhead about it. I ask the Holy Spirit to show you, to reveal to you, am I playing crowdsourced revelation? Am I afraid? Am I operating in fear? Whoa, this is good. Notice that faith relates us to heaven, and fear connects us to the crowd. So when you have fear, you are coming under the authority of the crowd. And their powers and principalities. We saw it. We so saw it. It was so plain and obvious that even the way the senators voted was because of their fear of the crowd. And you could see how their confession changed after the vote. Oh. It was. And So may God make us discerning when we are functioning in a spirit of the accuser and the crowd of the world. May God give us discernment when we, so that you don't function or flow in that spirit, because God's name is near to us. Okay, Acts chapter 4, and we're going to finish right here. I'm just going to unpack this, and then we're going to actually pick it up. The same thing happened to the apostles in Acts chapter 4 when the miracle of the cripple that Peter just said, silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have I'll give you. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Notice he uses the name of Jesus to speak to that man's healing. So he's functioning in the name of Jesus. Notice the apostles were with Jesus when he was in the temple, right? And the leaders of the temple question Jesus, what name are you doing this in? And so the same thing happens now. They got rid of Jesus. In their opinion, they killed him. They dealt with him. They murdered him. And so they thought he was gone. So guess what happens? The apostles come in and the same thing happens. So they arrest Peter. Is it Peter and John? Peter, James, I forgot. I didn't look back there. But they were arrested. And I want you to see the tactics here in Acts chapter 4, verse 7. And when they had set them in the midst, brought them before them, they did it to intimidate them. So the enemy will try to bring you in front of principalities and powers to cause you to be afraid. They were presented before them. We're putting you there in the middle of all these official-looking people. Think about how it must feel. It just kind of blew my mind. Think about it, how it must feel to be nominated for an important post in America. Because then the intimidation was unbelievable. And the leaders are the ones who try to intimidate you into backing off your good confession. The devil has always tried to wipe out believers. It still happens today. Here's obviously a person who was a confessed Catholic, right? So they were brought before the council. The council. Then they ask a question. By what power or by what name? In this case, name equals authority. What authority gave you this power to do this miracle? That's the order. Authority releases power, releases miracles. Let me say it again. Authority in the name releases power, which produces miracles. And they saw that process. And the miracle bothered them because it was an obvious miracle. That bugged them because they did not like the authority behind the power. And so what did Peter filled with the Holy Spirit? So I want you to see this in this passage, that when it comes to dealing with the spirit of intimidation of this age that wants you to be controlled by the crowd, the first thing that needs to happen is you need the filling of the Holy Spirit. You need the filling of the Holy Spirit at that time and beforehand. You need to learn how to be filled and where to go to get filled and what to do to get filled. Because Peter did not speak on his own authority. How do I know? Because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. You speak in the authority of Jesus Christ when you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And when you're filled, Jesus said, don't even think about what you're going to say. It's just going to go bloop, right on out. Because it is not you that speaks, but the Spirit of your Father. So you will be a messenger in the name of Jesus. The way you're delegated to function in the name of Jesus comes first with filling. And then once you get filled, you say. What did they say? Rulers and peoples and elders, if we're being examined today concerning a good deed done, now let me tell you, good deeds are powerful witnesses. But remember, this is a good deed, and I believe in doing good deeds like giving out food like we took today, offerings and things like that. But this is a good deed that only God could do. And we believe in those too. Did I heal Ted? Did you heal Ted? Who healed Ted? Only God. Only God. Whoever else it is, we need to be zealous for good works. Well, what good works are we talking about? Healing, signs, wonders, miracles. That's what we need to focus on. The other stuff comes too. But I believe the good works, we need to get this, folks, is that as we function in these good works, there's nothing they're going to say. It's going to make the devil speechless. It's going to take away his tongue. We need signs and wonders. We need to be functioning in signs and wonders. And we've been training you in that. We want to continue to train you in that. And we don't ever want to quit training and releasing people in signs and wonders and miracles, because that's when God goes to work. And we can do what we can, but I'm telling you, I cannot tell you how many times I've faced a situation where I've had to pray this prayer. God, I've done everything I can, and I'm not even halfway there. If you don't come right now, we won't make it. And guess what? God likes that place. He says, finally, I've got you somewhere where you're going to start believing me. Wow. Now, he says, if you are we, Peter said, if we're being looked at or tested by this good deed by a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed? Again, authority. Let it be known to you that the people of Israel, that the name of Jesus, Messiah, Jesus Christ, remember, Christ means who he is. The Messiah, it became his name. Like his last name, you know, Jesus first name, Christ last name. But initially, he wasn't called Jesus Christ until after the resurrection. It kind of became his name as well. So when you refer to Jesus, most of the time, the word Christ came afterwards. So here is this name. That's the authority. Lord, make your name near. I thank you that you made your name near to me. I thank you, Lord, that Jesus Christ came to me. I thank you that it wasn't just me doing the Ten Commandments better as a kid. I was taught to do them. It's not that I did a good job going in school. It's not that I did everything that Mommy and Dad told me to do. I thank you there was a day when Jesus Christ came near to me. And I thank God for that, and I will always thank God for that, that Jesus came to me. He came to me. That's the name that's above every name, and that's the name that came near. By him, this man is standing before you well. Not a what, a who. This Jesus is the stone. You see how he keeps saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Can you imagine the reactions of the Pharisees that said, Jesus, 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 demons manifesting while they're just saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. If you want to get some demons to manifest, just start saying, Jesus. I'm serious. Come on now. You don't see devil worshipers or sinners say, Satan, damn it. Right? Do you hear that? No. You don't hear them say, man, Buddha, when they're mad. You don't hear them take the names of idols. Why? Because the devil's a slanderer. He hates the name of Jesus. Come on now. You come in here and tell me if this ever happens anywhere in Henry County, nobody cusses in any other name. Come on. Can somebody say amen to that? Doesn't that tell you that our God is an awesome God? The devils wouldn't care if he wasn't. Come on, it's the truth. I love this. Jesus, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no name, no other name under heaven whereby we must be healed. Sozoed. The word that they used for healing in this passage back in verse 7 is the word saved. Salvation. And we are, this is one of the biggest passions of our church, is that healing and salvation are like interchangeable. If you're going to talk about being saved, don't tell me God don't heal today. And if you're going to be, if you're saved, then you better start believing right now that God's going to heal you. That's it. You can't separate healing from salvation. Can't do it. Jesus didn't do it. Same words. Saved, healed. How can God forgive sin? Well, which one's easier? Forgiving sin or healing? Get up in the name of Jesus. Boom. Right? What was he trying to get to them? That your name, the name of Jesus, is something where God works in the midst of you. It's God healing people. Do you see that Peter did not say, we healed them? He didn't say that. He said it was the name of Jesus, and by him this man is standing in front of you. By Jesus. It wasn't us. It was him. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected. And when they saw the boldness, and I say free speech, why is America, why can I say that America is the greatest country on the earth? The greatest thing that we ever did was the First Amendment. By far. Guaranteeing the freedom of speech and religion. There's, you know what? A lot of countries don't even do that. Why is so important? Because right here, when they saw the freedom of speech, they were being persecuted because of what they said and believed. And our forefathers, thank God for them, they said, we are going to make it a constitutional law that you cannot persecute someone or treat them wrongly because of their faith. Why? Because the people that came to these shores were fleeing persecution. That's why. So what if they weren't perfect Christians? They weren't. But they were being killed, flayed, tortured, hung up, imprisoned because of what they believed. And I'm like, what is the big deal? Leave me alone. Let me worship God. But the devil will not leave the believers alone. He cares about nothing other than shutting down the name of Jesus and the operation of Jesus. That's what. That's all he cares about. Now, we're going to see the same pattern here. I'm going to get back to this. They were uneducated common men. They were astonished. They said, wait a second. You guys do not fit in our club. You are not in the powers and principalities club. You're not in the crowd. The crowd will tell you what you have to do to be one of them. Get a lot of letters after your name. Well, I'm Pastor John. PhD. LLB. LLB, right? You know, my brother Fount Schultz, I love him. I think it's what he said. Fount Schultz, he has a PhD in Hebrew languages, right? He calls it permanent head damage. That's what it stands for. Y'all know Fount. Permanent head. He said he had to be healed from his PhD. Does sound like a sickness, doesn't it? Now it doesn't mean, look, it doesn't mean... If you are designing an aircraft, my dad designed radar. Thank God for his degrees. Okay? That's what you want. Yes. But not when it comes to heaven. He didn't do it because he was pressured by the crowd to do it. He did it because he loved knowledge. And there's a difference. I've got another cousin who is brilliant. Brilliant cousin. But because of his personality, he could not handle the stress of college. So my other brothers, who are also very, very smart, got him a job designing far out stuff. But he didn't have the degree. So what? He was so valuable to the company without a degree because God had given him the gift, a brilliant gift. So don't let the world conform you to its image. Image, you hear what I'm saying? If God says, go get your degree, get it. But if you don't have it, don't feel like you have to have it because of what the world says about you. Right here. Peter was a businessman. He didn't need a degree. But he had been with Jesus. Amen. Someone say amen to that. Amen, walls. Okay. Again, they did the same thing. They conferred with each other. They talked to each other. It was all the groupthink going on, right? And then they do the same thing, back and forth. We want to look good. We want people to think we look good. It's all about the reputation and what do we, but what if they do? Blah, 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 blah. See what I'm saying? And so what do? This is what the enemy wants to do to you. He's trying to tell you, don't talk, don't teach, don't do anything in the name of Jesus. Don't use the name. So, I love Peter. He says, I can't help but say what I've seen and heard. And it's not a thing you've seen and heard. It's a person you've seen and heard. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to speak the prayer that they prayed. And so I want you to go on through here to the... I don't have my verses in my thing. I just want to say when they were released, just keep going now. And I'll tell you when to stop, Janine. But we're going to pray that prayer that they prayed together to close. Okay? Keep going, 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 going. Okay, we could start there. All right, would everybody, if you can stand, we're going to pray the prayer with them as our closing for boldness. So, Janine, can you keep us going here on that scripture? Okay, she had to go. You're doing awesome. Thank you so much. Yes. Yes. Okay, you ready? Sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. Okay? You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? Haven't we seen this? Come on now. Next. The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, next, whom you anointed. Okay, here we go. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Wow. Wow. And it says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you see that it started with Peter being filled with the Holy Spirit? And it ends with everyone receiving the Holy Spirit. So as we go today, let's just ask the Lord right now. Lord Jesus, fill me with the Holy Spirit. And thank you. Amen. 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 Let's give the Lord a clap. Amen. Glory to God.